Have your Bibles out, John chapter 21. We're going to go verse 15 this week. We're closing up on the book of John. So you guys been blessed by the book of John? You guys been informative, educated, educational, and life-changing. But sadly to say, this week is the last chapter of John. So, but the question is now what, right? So you've been hearing about John for the last 24, 25 weeks. Now what? Now what do we do? So we'll do a quick recap here. Before Jesus, Judaism was not available to anybody else. And this was God's plan. Because of man's rebellion against God, he chose the nation of Israel to be his people. And his promise to them is that out of your group of people that I have chosen, is going to come a Messiah, a Savior, and he's going to save the world. This was well documented in the Old Testament scrolls and has survived the test of time. No matter how many kingdoms rise or how many countries attempt to conquer, to wipe out the nation of Israel, God's promise to them remains faithful. I will be your God. And it doesn't matter how many times they rebel against him. They resurrected other gods. They went to other nations. And they wanted other kings. They wanted to be like everybody else. But over and over and over again, God says, you're my people and I love you and I'm going to continue to be your God. And God kept his promise and he continues to rescue them. And he made this promise to them in Exodus chapter 6 as they left Egypt. He says, I will take you as my people. I will be your God. And you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hands to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. So throughout history, God will give clues and visions, and he sends prophets to remind his people that that he's their God. But also, he also gave clues that a Messiah is going to come. And this Messiah is going to walk a certain way. He's going to live a certain way. He's going to die a certain way. And people are going to crucify him a certain way. And that will be the Messiah. And throughout the entire Old Testament, God was planting seed to the nation of Israel how he's going to redeem his people and the land. And we call this Old Testament literature, which we have in the scripture. The Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is clues about Jesus, the Messiah that's going to come in to save us. And then we have the New Testament. The New Testament is about the Savior, the Messiah, who God promised to the nation of Israel, the chosen one. Not LeBron James, the real chosen one. By the way, the Lakers are doing terrible. That's my favorite team. That's my first basketball team that I watched coming into America, right? That was my first basketball game I went to, the Lakers. But, you know, LeBron James is not the chosen one, okay? Jesus is the one would save the nation of Israel from their sins, and his name was Jesus. And that's where we got the New Testament. And in John chapter 1, he opened his letters with these words. He says, the true light that gives light to anyone, to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which is own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So Jesus came, and then he performed miracles. He lived the perfect life. Throughout the book of John, he went into details to illustrate these pictures, these portraits. As you've been learning the last 25 weeks, there was a picture behind here almost every single Sunday. So the John went into detail, says he's the light of the world. He's the living water. He's the high priest. He's the lamp. He's the son of God. He's the son of man. He was the succoth that we live under. He's the logos. He's the word. He created the world. He was the Christology in the Old Testament. And that's a fancy word for Christ figure, Christ form in the Old Testament. And he's the Christ in the New Testament. And John went to details and give us these pictures, these clues that he was the Messiah. Everything Jesus did in the New Testament was alluding to our lives after the resurrection, that he wanted to make sure that we know, and we're going to continue to understand, that we are forgiven, we are his children, that because of his death and resurrection that we are called children of God, and that we have peace with God, that we can call Jesus and God as our friends, that we are part of the family, that he brought us back, that we are not condemned, and there is peace between us and God and heaven. It's a real place, a real destination. This is the true light. Not just for the Jews. And out of Israel, God sent the Messiah. Not exclusively for the nation of Israel, but for all of us. It's for everyone. And whoever believes in his name will be saved and has the right to be children of God. And that is the good news. Amen. That's it. Let's go home, eat lunch, and ready for Christmas. That's, what else am I going to say? That is the good news of Jesus Christ in the last 25 weeks. But the question is, now what? Now what do we do with this information? Where do I go from here? What do we do? How do we respond? And after the resurrection, all the apostles went back, and they went back to fishing, what they'd always known. And they were on the beach, and Jesus is walking along the beach, and he had his own fish fry going, the fire going, he's grilling his own fish. And this conversation unfolds, and John recorded in details. John chapter 21, beginning verse 15. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 21, beginning verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now, this is ironic because John is writing this letter. And if I was to write a letter about Jesus, I would probably tell more stories about myself, right? That I'm hanging out with Jesus. But that's not the case. John was focusing more on the life of Peter. And he ended the book with Peter. Not himself, with Peter. So he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus says, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because he asked him the third time. "Do you love me?" he said. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus says, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are older, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death that Peter was going to die, and he says, "Follow me. Follow me." And that's how the rest is just the closing, and then that's how the main story ends. This is how John ended the book of John, which is kind of ironic. Why would he end it this way? Why would he stop here? Why did he just stop at the part where Jesus says, "Follow me"? Maybe it's simply because Christianity, and I only have one point for you today. Christianity is not a private matter. Christianity is not a private matter. This is why John ended this way. And I'll make this make sense to you in a little bit. I want to spend the next 15 minutes going to deliver to you this message. We're going to wrap it up into a real nice bow, and you're going to go home. We're going to prepare for Christmas. Amen? So let me have you 15 minutes. Jesus pointed to Peter and said, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" So Jesus is probably just pointing to the nets, pointing to the fish, pointing to whatever they were doing. Said, "Do you love me more than these?" Essentially, Jesus is asking Peter, "Are you prepared for what I am about to call you to do? Do you love me more than these?" He's asking Peter, "Do you love your 9-to-5? Do you love just going back to fishing? Do you just love doing the things that you're doing?" But not only once did he ask him, not twice, he asked him how many times?
Three times.
Yes, I would be hurt a little bit if Jesus asked me three times if I love him. So I get it. But this is the history of Peter and Jesus throughout the book of John. Peter was the first disciples to follow Jesus. The first. Peter was considered part of Jesus' inner circles. The three. Peter walked on water on a rough sea. When he saw Jesus, he ran out of the way. He said, I'm going to run towards God. So he walked on water. Peter was the first to say Jesus was the Christ. Remember, Jesus says, on this rock, I will build my church. Peter rebuked Jesus. No, Lord, you will not die. So Jesus, the first one to say, God, you're not going to do that. Remember, Jesus says, get behind me. Peter told Jesus, I will not die. Peter denied Jesus three times. Peter was the first to go into the tomb. And up to this point, Peter went back to fishing. It's in the details. John did such a good job. And remember, pen and paper were scarce back then. They can't just simply write things and whatever they want to write. They have to pick and choose carefully what they can put on paper, because once it goes on there, it's done. There's not enough paper to go around. There's not enough ink to go around. So the words were carefully chosen. So John went into this specific detail, connecting Peter back to the scene where he denied Jesus three times. But for us to understand the scene as well, in John chapter 21, here it says, they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals where with fish on it and some bread. Remember, this is before they even caught fish. Jesus already had fish. He didn't need anything of us. He didn't need anything of the disciples. He already had his own fish. But also, he connected back to John chapter 18 when Peter denied Jesus. This was the scene. It was cold. The servant and official stood around a fire and they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. The picture that John gave us is this right here. This fire and coal, and they were doing this. These are the only two scenarios in the Bible that John mentions coal and fire in the scene that he's trying to tell us. So listen to me carefully. When Peter denied Jesus, he was doing this. Aren't you his friend? No, I don't know him. So now on the beach, he's doing this. And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? But the ironic part is the word love. Because throughout this conversation, the word love changed. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about the Greeks has three different type of love. There's agape love, there's a philia love, and there's eros love. And agape is like the sacrificial kind of love, and then eros is like the romantic kind of love, and phileo is like the friendship kind of love. So this is how the conversation unfolds. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me, which is the word agape, more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. So Jesus asking Peter, do you agape me? And Peter responded, yeah, I love you as a friend. He used the friend word, not the agape word. And in the next sentence, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Agape. Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. So Peter used the friend word, and Jesus used the sacrificial word. And then the third time, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? He didn't use the word agape. So Peter says, oh, you know all things. You know that I love you. Peter was hurt because he was reminded at this moment, like the fire that night when he denied Jesus three times, the same way like the fire that he's doing right now when Jesus asking him three times, do you love me? He was reminded that he only loved Jesus like a friend. He doesn't truly understood the kind of love that God has for him yet. He only loved Jesus as a friend. It's convenient kind of love, a fair weather kind of love. It's a kind of love that I support you, I'm here for you, but don't ask anything of me kind of love. The kind of love that sometimes you and I treat God. A fair weather kind of love. What can God do for me lately? Then I'll love him back. It's the kind of love that Peter responded to God, to Jesus, says, I only phileo you. And you know, in all honesty, I don't blame him. I don't blame Peter for feeling this way. I mean, Jesus hasn't been back to heaven yet. They haven't had the Holy Spirit yet. What Jesus just did, resurrected from the dead, was new to everybody. Everyone's still trying to figure this whole thing out. They didn't understand the magnitude of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the third time, Jesus says to Peter, do you love me as a friend? And Peter says, yes, God, I love you as a friend. And here's the calling. This is why John ended the book the way that he did. He says, very truly I tell you, you were very young, you dress yourself, went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. Jesus says to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Your attention up here or else you're going to get really confused. John had to write this letter after the death of Peter. There was no way John had any idea how Peter was going to die. John added a little commentary in here that this is the kind of death Peter is going to die, because according to well-documented history, Peter was crucified by Nero. And rumor has it that Peter wanted to crucify upside down because he didn't deserve to die the same way the Lord Jesus Christ did. So he says, crucify me upside down. Peter was crucified by Nero in the year AD 64. John was still alive. John heard Peter preach because John wrote the book of John in AD 80 in Patmos, almost 20 years later. What made all the difference in the world is Jesus calling Peter to follow him. He says, follow me. It's not written here, but by this time, everybody knew what Peter did for God. By this time, everyone knew Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached the gospel. It's recorded in Acts that this Christ who we crucified was Lord and Christ. Everyone knew that Peter went to Rome and established a church in Rome. Everyone knew that Peter took the gospel. Evidence shows that he left his family. Maybe his family traveled with him. I don't know. But he went in full force to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Peter's faith was so loud that when he finally understands the question that Jesus asked him, do you agape me? After he went up to heaven, after they received the Holy Spirit, everything makes sense that this is the Messiah. So they went all in and they went and preached the good news of Jesus Christ all over the world. Well, in that region of the world. Because once Peter understood and followed Jesus, the faith in Christianity, the faith in his God, the faith in Jesus was no longer a private matter. Everyone knew what Peter did. That's why John wrote the book of John the way that he did, that he ended with the conversation between Peter and Jesus. And Jesus says, follow me, because by this point, everybody knew that Peter's faith was so loud that even Nero crucify him. He can't hide behind the fair weather like we do sometimes and warm his hands at the fireplace when it's convenient. He'll only come to God when things are going well. Because when Jesus says, do you agape me? He's essentially asking Peter, do you understand that to follow me, there has to be some sacrifices? And sometimes following Jesus, it's very uncomfortable. Most of the time, it's very unpopular. And sometimes it requires agape kind of love for God. And once in a while, God will call you. Maybe one of you, maybe some of you, maybe all of you in this room to follow him. And sometimes God will do that, whether it's you're sitting here, you're sitting over here, maybe God will call one of you in this room like the way he called Peter. Says, are you willing to make the sacrifice to follow me? Because now you understand the magnitude of my death, my burial, my resurrection for you and for humanity as a whole, as the Messiah, as the Christ, as the light of the world, as the God, Son of God, as the Logos, as the living water, as the way that the Old Testament usher me into the New Testament, that I'm going to be Emmanuel, God with humanity, that's going to save the nation, everybody. And he says, Peter, do you understand that? And at the time, Peter didn't, until the Holy Spirit came. And after he did, it cost Peter everything, like Jesus said. But looking at Peter, I know it's not for all of us. But not all of you in here are Peter. Not all of you in here are Paul. Not everyone in here is John. But I reflect the words of John to the Romans. As the church began to be persecuted by the Roman Emperor in the middle of Rome, as the church began to figure out how do we live with persecution. So Paul had to write these words to encourage the church in Rome. And he says this, Romans chapter 1 verse 16. It's on the screen if you need it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because of the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jews, then to the Gentile. For the gospel, the righteousness of God, is revealed. A righteousness that is why by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Amen. Not all of us are Peter. I get it. Not all of us are Paul. Not all of us are John. And God might call one of you in this room to be one of those guys. To say, do you truly understand that the message is going to change the world? And it's the very reason why the very first apostles even went and shared the message of Jesus Christ. It's very uncomfortable to follow Jesus. It's not fair weather sitting by the fire. It's not so we can warm ourselves and whenever the time is right. When the time is right, we'll follow Jesus. It doesn't work that way. And so that's why Jesus asked him three times, do you agape me? Do you understand? Do you love me more than you love these? And I understand that not everyone in this room, it's me or my wife or Peter or Paul or John, but I know by looking at the story of Peter, this is what I want you to understand. That in the portrait of Jesus, in the canvas, all of us can learn this. That your past doesn't limit your impact. In the portrait of Jesus, this is this empty canvas. And we look at this life of Peter, and we all can learn from this, is that your past does not limit your impact. Your level of talent does not limit your impact. Your life might be altered when you choose to impact someone's lives. And God is asking every question, every Christian in this room. Whoever professes Jesus is Lord and live by faith. Jesus, Son of God, to go to impact the world. And today you start with this blank canvas. I have this on my desk. Today's the day where you can be anything. Today's the day where you can choose to be anything. There's this blank canvas in your story with God. And you can fill this canvas with your past, with your regrets, with your guilt. Or you can fill this canvas like the story of Peter, and Jesus says, follow me. Even though you don't answer all the right questions. Even you don't understand the whole story of the scripture, even you don't understand it all, but are you willing to follow me? And you can paint this canvas any way you want today. Will my marriage be improved today if I put Jesus in my relationship? Will my finance improve today? Will I manage it better? Where do I give better because I have Jesus in my canvas? Will my relationships better? Do I continue to live in the guilt of my past or move forward the way Peter moved forward with Jesus all in? I can paint this picture any way I want today in the context of Jesus Christ. Peter was not perfect. When you read through the gospel, you see his indecisive personalities. You see his impulsiveness personality. He just plain out denied Jesus three times. And sometimes he was lacking faith. And as Peter went on to teach and share the gospel, he put himself into danger. He went straight to Rome. He challenged Nero that he needs to step down and put Christ first in his life. That's why Nero crucified him. And in the midst of all this, of him following Jesus, as God calls him and says, follow me, he wrote these words. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. This is coming from someone who was hurt because Jesus asked him three times, if you love me. He grew up in his faith. And that's for all of us in this room at some point in our lives, in our Christian walk with God, that we completely have to trust the fact that Jesus Christ can help save the world through you. And that today you can be anything you want to be. The start of anything you want to be in the context of Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior in your life. Amen? And Jesus says, follow me. And that's how John ended the book of John. He ended for us to respond. He ended so we can follow. He ended so we can make a decision. He ended so we can understand, what are we going to do with this? Do we just keep sitting around and do nothing? Or are we going to do something for God, big or small? Doesn't matter what it is, but do something in the name of God. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks. We thank you for the opportunity for us to get together. One, to be spiritually fed, but two, to go out and exercise, or else we'll be spiritually fat. Help us to take this message, because our Christian life is not a private matter. It's a matter of life and death for someone else. God, whoever you call in this room to be the next pastor, to be the next missionary, to be the next Bible teacher, God, call them like you call Peter, do you love me? And for most of us in this room, Holy Spirit, tug in their heart that you call them to do something. Because every Christian, by the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, was created to change the world. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen. As the band come forward, if you never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, that's the calling. Jesus says, follow me. But don't leave today without understanding the call. And the way John left it is for us to make that decision. So that's you this morning. I'm inviting you up here by way of invitation to the course of this song to say, new, I want to follow Jesus. How do I, you know, let's get baptized. We have clothes in the back to change you. But the rest of you, if you've been through life and life beat you up a little bit, and you just need prayers, our elders will be up here to pray with you. And I hope that you walk away from here knowing the fact that Jesus loves you, and that's it. There's nothing else to this church. There's nothing else to this church, to be honest with you. We just want you to know Jesus loves you. The gospel. Let's stand. that's you this morning, I'm inviting you to come up here.